Greetings, my friends, and peace be with you on this 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The readings this weekend come from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, then Psalm 18, then the beginning of chapter 5 in the Epistle of James, and our Gospel is continuing on in Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 to 48. If you go straight to the Gospel, you will see that there's a lot of colour in there. And luckily for us, as Catholic Christians, we are not fundamentalists. We do not believe in the literal word of Scriptures. We avoid such things as doing exactly as they say. The reason that I say that is because Jesus was, as a skilled communicator, he used metaphor and exaggeration to make his point. And in today's gospel, he uses those metaphors and that exaggeration and the very colourful imagery. If we were to interpret the gospel in another way, our image of heaven would be for those people who've torn out an eye, cut off a hand, and cut off a foot, perhaps. That is not what Jesus is referring to in the literal sense. Figurative language to highlight his point. He then goes on in even more colourful language to mention the word hell. That's H-E-L-L. He mentions the word hell three times. Now, it has been said in modern times that it's not kosher, as it were, to talk too much about hell, the uncomfortable things, the things that we don't really want to talk about. Some might even say it's just not PC, it's not politically correct. The teaching of the Catholic Church has always brought forward the truth of hell. It is part of the teaching and the tradition of the Church. In fact, it's still a living tradition. It's not something to be avoided because it makes us feel uncomfortable. If we look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Catechism numbers 1035 and 1037, I'll just read it exactly as it says so that we understand what we mean by hell, and then I'll place Jesus' words into that context. The teaching of the Church affirms the existence of hell and its eternity. Immediately after death, the souls of those who die in a state of mortal sin descend into hell, where they suffer the punishments of hell, that is, eternal fire. The chief punishment of hell is eternal separation from God, in whom alone mankind can possess the life and happiness for which mankind was created and for which mankind longs. And 1037 says, God predestines no one to go to hell. Now, this is not a sermon or reflection on hell, but Jesus mentions it, as I said, three times. So therefore, it is important for us to understand, what does he mean? Why would he put such an emphasis on it? And to understand that emphasis, we have to look at who would end up in a place like that, banished from God. It's not the flames and pitchforks and little horned men. That's not what we're talking about. The image of hell that we get from Scripture comes from the word Gehenna, which was a place that the Canaanites and idolatrous Israelites used to go, and they would have child sacrifices there to the god Molech. And in the second book of Kings, we hear how that was stopped and that place was desecrated altogether. And eventually it was turned into the rubbish dump, if you like, of Jerusalem, on the southeast side outside of Jerusalem. And it would have been full of typical rotting, smelling, burning, maggoted things decaying. And that's where we get the imagery from our biblical sources. It just became fiery rubbish dump. So Jesus' audience in Matthew's gospel, they would have understood what he means when he says hell. It is the eternal banishment from God, and it's everything that makes us uncomfortable. So Jesus takes evil very seriously in Mark's gospel. He's conscious of it around him, and he's aware that it comes from within us and outside of us. In today's gospel, he teaches us today to stop doing destructive things that prevent us from loving God and loving each other and loving ourselves. Don't forget that last point. Loving God, loving others, and loving ourselves. What things stop us from loving ourselves, others, and God? As I look at it, sinful behavior, it falls really into two categories of human activity. That what I would call habitual, and the other I would call compulsive. Habits, I think they're unusual things. There are good habits, like when we say please and when we say thank you. And there are habits that can start out very well intentioned enough, but they end up being obsessions. I know some people that would probably agree that they wanted to get into physical fitness, and so they started the gym routine, as it were, and then it becomes a real obsession with them. And then there are habits that bring us moments of relief or let us off the hook, if you like. And we learn these things, I think, very young. These habits are things like lying and dishonesty and stealing. But they always end up being destructive. Compulsive behaviour, in my view, is a very different order. Things like gambling and drinking, shopping, overeating, smoking, violence, some work, overwork, sex, drugs, pornography, money, a bad use of the internet. These are fairly common manifestations of compulsive behavior. Many of those things are the things that are brought through in the sacrament of reconciliation and penance. Many of those things are the things that we regularly confess, these compulsive behaviours. As heartbreaking as these addictions are, they are really, I think, presenting the problems of deeper issues. I think they relate to self-esteem. I think they relate to people's personal history, their current desires and fantasy. And some of those compulsive behaviours, I'm sure, they have a genetic disposition. There is a history in our DNA, perhaps. One of the comments that I often hear people make about their compulsive behaviour is, I found myself doing it again and again. I'm just not sure why. No doubt, there are some people who feel so lonely and so depressed about their habitual or compulsive behaviour that they contemplate really cutting off a leg or a hand or an eye, ripping it out, as it was mentioned in the gospel today. And perhaps these days in COVID lockdown, that takes the lonely and those who are more inclined to depression, perhaps that's where their mind goes as they examine their habitual or compulsive behaviour. When we're excluded from the company of others who keep us in check and, I hope, charitably correct and direct us, when we're removed from such people, perhaps we lose some of our moral compass. We get a little bit wobbly as the needle on the compass goes. Jesus says today in the gospel that we have to stop our destructive behaviour. And as I look at it, he offers us three pieces of practical advice so that we can stop it. First, he says, as I read it, he says, Do whatever helps stop the behaviour. For some people, the most unusual solutions tend to be the deeper issues, and they help us piece our lives back together. It doesn't matter whether others approve of it. It is related to religious faith. For as long as it doesn't lead to other destructive behaviour, when whoever or whatever is not against us is for us. The second thing I think is seek help. First, do whatever we can to stay on track. Secondly, seek help. None of us can battle through COVID or through life carrying all of our burdens on our own. This is a real struggle for those who do live on their own. I noticed that in steps 4, 5 and 6 of Alcoholics Anonymous, those steps are concerned with sharing the exact nature of our burdens as a means of coming to terms with them. Many of you will know that family and friends, they're not mind readers, and we need to seek out wise people and we need to follow advice wisely. The help and support we receive could be like that cup of fresh water that Jesus tells us about in the Gospel today, at the beginning of the Gospel. And finally, in my view, habitual and compulsive behaviour always has a pattern. Only when we regularly examine ourselves do we see where, when, how, and with whom we are most likely to walk away from God's love. Only then can we work out why we do it and how we can change the pattern. There is always a pattern there, and it comes up so often when people say, I seem to confess the same thing. So do whatever you can positively to stop the behaviour. To secondly, seek out help. And then thirdly, and this might be the starting point actually, examine our lives and see in our habitual or compulsive behaviour, see the source of that. And then we might just be able to change the direction our 2 feet walk in. We might be able to change what we do with both our hands as we reach out for help, and we might be able to clear our vision with both our eyes so that we can see truly what feeds our heart and soul. What is it that we look at and see and value and nurture in our very self? And then my habitual and compulsive behaviour can be turned towards God. It can teach me and perhaps even reteach me to learn to love myself, to learn to love my neighbour, and to learn therefore to love God. And that is behaviour worth pursuing, worth in fact, as Jesus would say, dying for. God bless you this weekend, and please, I ask you to pray for refugees, all refugees, and particularly those of Afghanistan. The prayer is published in our bulletin this weekend. I thank you for your love and support in the parish and for the gentle messages that come our way. I ask God's richest blessing upon you in these days, and may your feet and your hands and your eyes look to and always work for the love of God.